Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Sister Moffitt. She hit that note, didn't she? Amen, amen. I'm so proud of our choir, and I thank God for them. I thank God for our musicians. And you know, church folk are something, because when you have good musicians, there are other pastors and churches that will try to take them. And a gentleman at the Mayfest asked me if I could give him the name of our musicians. And I said, that one there is Dexter Harvey. And that one is Jimmy Lee Cricket. And our drummer is James Monroe.
He already called.
All right. Y'all can't have our musicians. Let's thank God again for our music ministry. Y'all know I'm joking. Amen. God bless you. As we stand, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 15, and all of the song leaders did an awesome job. Amen. Sister Sharon Brown, Sister Anetta Jordan, amen. Sister Brenda Wesley, they were all fantastic. And Big Show, y'all know he showed out. That's why. So is in his name. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. God bless you. You may be seated. In the presence of the Lord, Lord, we thank you for this preaching privilege, and we pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, a word to help us to walk and talk and live in the way that you would have us to. We thank you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to talk for just a moment this morning from the subject, "There's no place like home." Amen. There is no place like home. Thank you, ushers. Amen. In the time-honored movie, The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy spends a traumatizing few days trying to find her way home. With the help of the wizard, she is told that she will be able to make her way back to Kansas and her beloved grandmother. So Dorothy sets out on a quest to find the wizard and then to follow his very specific instructions, with the promise that he will send her home. But ultimately, the wizard takes off in his hot air balloon without Dorothy, and she is left in a hopeless predicament. What a mess it was. Dorothy is stuck in Oz seemingly forever. At least that's what she thinks, until the good witch shows up and tells her she has always had the power to go home. And y'all know the story. Dorothy clicks her heels 3 times and says those infamous words that we all remember: "There is no place like home, and instantly Dorothy is back in Kansas. Well, if only life could be that easy. If only all we had to do is click our heels and bam, and instantly, without GPS, we could find ourselves at our desired destination. Dorothy's preferred destination was her home in Kansas. Yours might be, as mine is, an island out there somewhere in the Caribbean Sea. But your desire is still the same. You want to get somewhere that where there is peace and where there is happiness, where you can rest. Amen. Am I by myself? Amen. Well, in our text, that's all that the woman from Canaan wanted. She wanted some peace. She wanted some happiness. And as I'm talking, some of you are thinking about your home life. You're thinking about that marriage. You're thinking about your children. Amen. But all you want is a little peace and happiness. And the Bible says that she pressed her way to Jesus because she sought a cure for her daughter who was demon-possessed. What mother can have peace when your children's minds are messed up? What mother can have peace? Amen. We'll be celebrating Mother's Day on next Sunday. What mother is there that can have peace when her child is vexed with the devil? Well, she heard about this man named Jesus who could heal all diseases. So she traveled from Canaan to the Gentile border of Tyre and Sidon, where she believed she could get her daughter's prescription filled. Somebody said, he's a mighty good doctor. Somebody said, amen, he'll come in your room and fill out all your prescriptions. Is there anybody who's found him to be a healer? Anybody found him to be a doctor in your sick room? A lawyer in your, come on, where are my folk who don't mind testifying about what our God is able to do? This woman from Canaan saw Jesus only as the son of David, a great miracle worker with earthly power who could liberate people from their ills and problems. It was clear that she needed to grow in her understanding of who Jesus really was. So Jesus, the master teacher, because I want you to understand how he deals with this woman, because at face value, it looks like he's being rude. It looks like he's being mean, but I'm so glad that Jesus, being the master teacher, he knows how to teach us how to walk by faith and not by sight. And y'all, what I've come to discover is that he teaches us many times in ways that are unfamiliar to us. He doesn't instruct us. He doesn't teach us the way we think he ought to do it. Is there anybody here who is able to look back over your life and after the Lord has brought you through some stuff, you realize that God's classroom ain't like man's classroom? He's the master teacher. So first of all, Jesus was deliberately entering Gentile territory because he needed quiet time to prepare himself and his disciples for the end of his ministry. They're walking with him and they don't even realize that his earthly ministry is almost over. And the only place that he could find freedom from the crowds and his opponents was in the northern area, the area bordering Gentile territory, because no Jew was likely to enter into Gentile areas. Oh my, there are three things I want to talk about, three things that I like about this woman, and I want y'all to glean from what she learns in this lesson. First, I want you to look at her spirit of persistence, like Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz. This Canaanite woman wouldn't give up. Verse 23 says, but Jesus answered her not a word. Y'all, he ignored her. And I would just like to imagine with my sanctified imagination that if this was a sister, I would like to imagine that, amen, she probably has some neck action going on when he ignored her. The Bible says he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Y'all know if this was a sister, the first thing she would have said is that, I'm not crying after y'all, I'm crying after him. The disciples said, send her away, for she crieth after us. Come on, sisters, y'all know y'all would have, amen, gave them a piece of your mind. No, we didn't come for y'all, we come for Jesus. Here was this woman convinced that Christ were what was her daughter's only hope, and the disciples were begging Jesus to send her away. Now I need you to use your spiritual imagination, if you will, and zoom in on this clustered caravanning crowd. Can't you see the love and sense of desperation in her face? She would not let go of Jesus. Despite his silence, despite the objection of the disciples, and even despite her undeserving position as a Gentile living outside of rabbinical law, she must have followed them for quite a while, and the disciples must have assumed by their master's silence that he did not intend to help this despised individual. But Jesus was in teaching mode. I said he was in teaching mode. Y'all can act cute if you want to and act like you've never, amen, confronted Jesus and called on Jesus and had him to ignore you. Let me testify for myself. I have been in some situations. I have been in some predicaments, and I called on the Lord and he answered me not a word. Come on, where are my witnesses at? Amen. I've been in some tough situations. Didn't know how I got there. Sometimes I knew how I got there. I knew I got there because of my disobedience. I knew I got there because I wouldn't do what the Lord told me to do. But I heard David say, his mercy endures forever. And so I was just crazy enough to believe that if I call him one more time, if I look to him one more time, if I knock one more time, if I ask one more time, if I seek one more time, I heard my mama say, he may not come when you want him, but if you keep calling, if you keep asking, he will show up right on time. Where are my folk who are witnesses? Jesus was in teaching mode. First of all, he had to teach something to the disciples. They had to learn that faith has to be awakened in a person's heart before they can receive a miracle from God. Oh my. You don't just haphazardly fling a fanciful prayer towards the Lord and expect to receive help. Your request must come from a sincere heart that genuinely seeks the Savior. Jesus was awakening this woman's faith. Do y'all know that if he gave us everything we asked just like that, amen? Because y'all do know that today we deal with a lot of microwave Christians. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I some things okay in the microwave, but there's some things I want it the old-fashioned way, like my oatmeal. I like old-fashioned oatmeal. I like that kind. It's got to boil in that water a little while. I know some of y'all don't mind putting it in the microwave. Amen. Amen. Come on, where are my folk who I know some of y'all like instant grits, but when it comes to grits for me, I look for that old-fashioned to say on there. Amen. It's got to boil a little while. Amen. That's the kind of grits I like. And that's the kind, amen, if you're going to have faith in God, if he's going to answer your prayers, you've got to develop the kind of faith that doesn't mind waiting on him. Is there anybody who's had to wait on him? And I think the prophet Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Is there anybody here who doesn't mind saying, Pastor, I am with you. I've had to wait on him. And I got to tell you that my waiting on him, because I waited on him, I'm better now. I'm stronger now. I'm wiser now. You've got to wait on him. And so Jesus had to teach the disciples that you've got to build up in people the ability to wait. But then second, the servant of God, Jesus was teaching the disciples that servants of God, preachers, we've got to minister from a heart that is filled with compassion for sinners and saints. I got a problem with church folk who only have love and compassion for other church folk. Amen. Amen. I've got to question whether or not you're really a disciple of Christ if you only company with church folk, if you only talk to church folk. Is there anybody here who understands that the call of God on our lives is to be witnesses, not to save folk, but to lost folk? Our churches would be full if more of us would be witnesses, amen, to unsaved folk. And do you know what I come to find? Amen. You ain't got to look far for unsaved folk. Some of your neighbors are unsaved. But when is the last time you knocked on their door and said, yeah, we got Zacardi Cortez. You may not have heard of him, but he's a gospel singer. And I would love it if you would just be my guest. I'm going to buy your ticket. Amen. And just come with us to church. Amen. That's the kind of witness God wants us to have. Some of you ain't got to go to your neighbor's house to find some unsaved folk. Don't get quiet on me now. Right now, you sit up in church, but some of you got husbands and wives and children that are laid up in bed. They've been out all night long, and yet you have not felt the need to tell them you got to go to church. See, I'm 59, and I grew up in a house where my mama and my daddy said, no, you're not going to be out all night on Saturday and not be in church on Sunday. Is there any old school folk up in here? Where my OGs at? Amen. You grew up in a house where your mama and your daddy drug you to church, and they drug you to church not to be mean to you, but because they understood that if you're going to walk this life, if you're going to live in this world, you've got to have faith. And is there anybody who remembers what Paul said about faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more word I hear, the stronger my faith. The more word I read, the stronger my faith. The more I hear the preaching of the gospel, the stronger my faith. The more I listen to gospel music, the stronger my faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. But Jesus, he was also teaching this woman to deepen her faith. You see, he was schooling the disciples, but he also wanted this woman to understand that you've got to deepen your faith. Amen. This woman from a proud pagan society needed to learn that there is only one true religion and only one true God. She had to acknowledge in her heart that Christ was more than the son of David. He was the Messiah. He was the hope of mankind. Oh, my. Oh, my. But then the second thing I like about this woman, not only did I like her persistence, but I also thank God, amen, that this woman had a spirit of worship. Look at verse 25. Verse 25 says, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. He has ignored me. His comrades, amen, have basically said, let's kick her up out of here. Amen. But the Bible says that in spite of all of that, she had enough sense to worship him. Can I tell y'all something pleasant here? I ain't going to ever let nobody get so under my skin that I stop my praise. I don't care what folks say. I don't care how you look at me. You can mean mug me. You can talk about me. You can scandalize my name. But every chance I get, and I know some of y'all let folk govern your worship. Oh, I see. I know. I can look at some of y'all and tell when you've had a bad week and when you've had a bad day because you come here and sit on God. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus, I said, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. You can't steal my joy. You can't stop my praise. He's been good to me. Where are my folk who are going to worship him anyhow? Hallelujah. Bless his name. This woman's persistence drove her to Christ. But her persistence then transitioned into worship. She called him Lord. In other words, she got it. She got it. Amen. She came to realize who Jesus was. Here's the lesson for us. We cannot enter into this holy place acting any kind of way. No. We serve a holy God. We have sanctified this place. Amen. To worship him. So you better govern yourself accordingly. When you come up in here, leave hate at the door. When you come up in here, leave gossip at the door. When you come up in here, leave that attitude, that old dirty attitude, leave it at the door. Because we have come in here to worship him. Amen. To worship him. God demands that we worship the gift of his son, Jesus. Our worship habit ought to drive us right to the feet of Christ, where we experience the same worship encounter as this Canaanite woman. You see, worship is like marriage. It demands intimacy. I know some of y'all are married, but there's no intimacy. Move on, Pastor. The more we persist in intimacy with the Lord, the closer our intimate relationship with Christ becomes. Our singing will show it. Amen. Our hand raising will show it. Our clapping will show it. As a matter of fact, when you've been intimate with God and when you know him and you love him genuinely, ain't nobody got to tell you to stand on your feet. Nobody has to tell you when to clap. Nobody has to tell you when to say amen. Amen. If you love him, it'll show up.